back to Ron Davenport. Appreciate you for tuning in. Nate and TD, we have Nate Washington and myself here to kick it. Nate, what's going on?
TD, you got it, fam. You don't have itis this week now, do you? You good? You ready? You good to go, baby?
Hey, you know what? I am good to go. I was very conscious about my eating today. As you know, the day after Thanksgiving is always an opportunity to recoup what you didn't finish up the night before. And I did that around 2 o'clock. So I'm good to go, sipping on the coffee. Okay. I'm ready to rock. How about you?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm excited. Another week for Titans football. I'm ready to get to it.
Yeah, and this is a redemption game, and we'll get into that. But I think we need to look at this Ravens game first. And there were multiple things that stood out about this game to me. And I just want to start with Ryan Tannehill and just what he was able to do. Not a good start at all. First half, definitely some struggles. But one thing I like about Tannehill is when the chips are on the table, he's going to deliver. And you saw that his completion percentage against the blitz, 91%. He had 2 touchdowns. Now, there was an interception, and it depends on how you want to use the term blitz, because, I mean, it was a linebacker coming in, and some people will call that a blitz, some people won't. But either way, it was something drawn up to attack the quarterback, and it definitely made him throw the ball a little bit too early. And you had the other defender dropping into the passing lane, and it was an interception. That was almost a game-turning moment. But Tannehill was able to come back later in the game and connect with Corey Davis, connect with A.J. Brown for a grown man touchdown. But what were your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill after seeing this game?
Just his ability to stick with it. And as you stated, even on the interception, you know, I tweeted immediately that, you know, looking at that play and assessing it from knowing the playbook and being in those positions before, you know, a lot of times your running back, your third down running back is going to be completely different from your feature back. That's why it's so rare to have guys like Alvin Kamara and, you know, Christian McCaffrey, those guys that can play three downs, because typically, in all honesty, you get a guy like Derrick Henry, you're going to look for a more shiftier guy to get in there on third down and try to create some havoc. So when I seen Jeremy in there and watching that play unfold, as you stated, with the blitz and linebacker coming downhill, you know, I can tell, you know, the way that Jeremy read that play inside out, he just read it too quick. He read it too quick and overlooked his first priority, which was that linebacker blitzing up the middle. And he wanted to go on ahead and get out. But by the time he noticed that that guy came up the A-gap, which is that center gap there right between the center and the guard, by the time he noticed that, it was too late. He tried to come back and get it, but, you know, the guy was already on Ryan and created, you know, a disruptive ability to get into Ryan's arm and not allow him to finish the throw, which also alluded to the fact that there was also a guy there to jump the route. So it just was a bad play on the show. But other than that, you know, his ability to stick with it throughout the whole game and really control the pace of the game, I think a lot of the responsibility was put more on him throughout this game. I think, you know, Art kind of got away from, you know, a lot of the things that he was doing best, although, you know, he still stuck with the game plan. You know, it was a tremendous job by Art. But I still think there was more responsibility put on Ryan this game. And I think he handled it well. I think he came out and he performed. He was able to put some good touchdowns on the board, sustain some drives, do what he was asked, because this definitely was a difficult defense to face here. And I think he did an awesome job all in all.
Yeah, I think he did a great job. When you look at, like you said, the bounce back and the ability to stick to it. When you look at this whole team, though, I think after hearing Lamar Jackson say something like, it seemed like they wanted it more than us. And then after seeing these guys, you know, we'll get into Butler pregame, but it was just like there was a tone set from the start. First half, a little back and forth. The Ravens had the upper hand. But as the game wore on, especially once it hit the fourth quarter, it was just a different ball game. And Mike Vrabel could even be heard on the sideline saying, you know, we got them. They're giving up. They're wearing down. Not they're giving up. They're wearing down. And that's when you start to see Derrick Henry really start to take effect. I mean, second half, Derrick Henry had 96 rushing yards. And we're talking about, what, 52 in the fourth quarter, 30 or 54 in the fourth quarter, 37 in overtime. It's just another testament to what this guy is able to do, whereas he gets stronger while others just start to wither down. And I think that's something that we have to mention. And for those who like numbers, Derrick Henry's 419 rushing yards in the fourth quarter and overtime, that's more than anyone else in the league. You know, he's leading the league in touchdowns in fourth quarter attempts. This guy is very clearly, as LeBron James tweeted after the game, the finisher.
Definitely. I also would like to even go out there and give Vrabel a name and just rope-a-dope Vrabel. I mean, this is exactly what this Titans team is indicative of. You know, they sustain drives. They do what they can. They find their way through defensively throughout games. The offense does what it can to stick to what they do best in their strength, which is running the ball. But, you know, when you have a back and an offense that's built around big guys, you know, this is a physical offense all the way from outside in. You know, that's definitely not the scenario in a lot of cases. Even back to when I played, you know, I was a route runner guy. You're not going to worry about Nate going up and blowing up your safety or breaking 3-4 tackles and running touchdowns. That just wasn't my game, you know, in all honesty. But when you got guys like AJ and Corey on the outside, even with Corey's ability, Corey's not a small guy.
Right.
These guys are physical. These guys play big. They play strong. And to sustain that for a defense throughout 60-minute game, you know, there's going to be a lot of energy, especially as you talked about, we'll talk about here shortly with Malcolm, but there's going to be a lot of energy initially when you come out and you face teams and they're excited about meeting the physical challenge. But the reality of it is, you know, being in them pads, man, and sitting on that bench and knowing you're going out there about to face that physical team again mid to late third quarter, I mean, you literally have to have a want to. And there's not too many guys that you're going to cross like that. So, you know, this is definitely not surprising, but definitely what I expect from this team in itself, even dating back to last year. I'm just always expecting them to come out, play as good as they're possibly going to play in the first half, do whatever they can, but I'm always expecting that second half to just be a nightmare for the other team when they're facing the Titans. This team is always going to wear down the team. They're always going to press their issue late third, early fourth quarter, and it's going to be, in all honesty, hell stopping Derrick Henry for four quarters.
Oh, yeah. It's about to be that December time, and that's where he really eats. You mentioned being physical inside out, and that's something that Frank Reich, when we got to speak to him, he mentioned that he really liked that about the Titans. So that's another good point. And then being so effective offensively in the fourth quarter, it's definitely something that comes down to Derrick Henry. But when you can have balance, that makes it that much better. And I think we have to look at Ryan Tannehill. And a lot of times you have quarterbacks like Matt Stafford and Kirk Cousins. These guys are the kings of what I'm about to touch on. And that's getting those garbage. You know, you're down by 21 points in the fourth quarter. It's yeah. Basically, hey, look, man, just you're not going to score, but you can get yards. You can work your way. We're just trying, you know, get up out of here. They get a lot of yards in that situation. But if you hone it in and look at one score games in the fourth quarter, Ryan Tannehill has the most touchdowns since he took over last season. He has 9 touchdowns in a one-score game in the fourth quarter or overtime. So that tells you when, as I said earlier, the chips are on the table, he's going to come through and he's going to deliver. So when you have those two working, that's definitely a factor. But then we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Harold Landry's big play, because that set up that 3rd and 17 when he got that sack. Yes, folks, ladies and gentlemen, a Tennessee Titans defender got a sack. And when it really mattered, in overtime. Yeah. And that led to the punt. And then we know what happened after that. The rest is history. But one other thing that was history and something that has been talked about a lot is Malcolm Butler pregame. I love Malcolm, man. I don't know him personally like you do. I mean, I've talked to him enough to know him, but like – you know, I don't have the relationship that you have, but I love watching Malcolm Butler compete. And this is something that we saw right from the start, standing on that logo. As a team, this is what they do. It wasn't any disrespect intended, but I got to get your thoughts on Butler pregame and just how that whole process evolved.
Well, short synopsis really quickly. no disrespect to any coach that I've ever had in my career. You know, they were all, you know, understood that there was going to be a standard with them and they were going to expect nothing else. But I'm going to get drunk straight to my point. Every coach that I played for under that Bill Belichick umbrella was a different practice experience. I'm talking about we competed like it was Sunday game day, all the way from mess talking to how we executed our plays. You know, I when I got to New England my 12th year in the league, I'm watching Tom Brady walk up to Matt Patricia, and they really like going at it before practice, telling each other that they about to kill each other in practice and those type of things. So when you look at Malcolm and the stem that he comes from, you know, I know that, you know, I'm going to even go here as well. I know that he's given up some plays this year. I know that it hasn't been perfect, but this is a guy that's going to compete. This is a guy that's going to believe in himself no matter what happens. I'm talking about this probably. He probably going to go out there and give up three touchdowns and will still be staring at your sideline like, throw another one. You know, that's just the type of guy that he is. And playing on that island, playing with that responsibility as a cornerback a lot of times, you have to have that mentality. So he's going out there to compete. It surprised me none at all that he was the one to bark at the sideline of the Ravens because I know he's ready and willing for anything that they want to do, despite of anything that they may feel about him, whatever opportunities they may feel facing him or whatever. He's a prove-it-to-me guy. He's gonna look at you and tell you, prove it. You know what I'm saying? And he did exactly that. He went out there and he competed. I was very proud to see him, you know, have a backbone, but also be respective and not go in too deep with Coach Harbaugh, because there's nothing wrong with a good, healthy, energetic banter, but I don't want him to be disrespectful, and I don't feel like he was. You know, I think he stood his ground. I think he was ready to play ball, and I loved every second of it.
People have to remember, football is a very emotional sport, so you got to love that part of it. And then to take it a step further, even once the game started, there were a few times I saw Snead try to block him afterwards, and, you know, they had a back and forth there, and then throwing the short passes to Dez. Like, he was dunking Dez Bryant for, you know, a one-yard gain, two-yard gain, even though he's playing off. So you saw the tackling after allowing the catch, not allowing the catch, but, you know, from off covers, which is something that we know has been an issue. So definitely – Malcolm Butler, he led the team from an emotional aspect, and it was a tone that they set. So it's definitely good to see that. Now that the Ravens game is over with, I think it's time we spin it forward, and we'll look at some things from this Colts game, and I'm looking forward to discussing this with you. That's exactly what we'll do when we come back from the break, because we have to go over a guy who's becoming a Titans killer.
Time. Wu-Tang, Olympic torch flaming, we burn so sweet, the thrill of
triumph, Wu-Tang, that's what the Titans are looking to do. They're looking to triumph against the Indianapolis Colts, but before they do, they'll have to deal with something, and that's Phillip Rivers. Nate, I have to ask you, you look at the last couple games, actually starting with the Titans game, where Rivers was delivering lightning bolts in 2.3 seconds from catch to snap. And then against the Packers, it seems like Phillip Rivers is heating up. Well, what do you make of his last couple performances? I'll say this. Until we get Nate back, I will say this. Phillip Rivers, he's catching fire. And this is something that you heard Dan Orlovsky. He mentioned that Rivers was catching fire. I saw another post by, I want to say Jeff Schwartz. And he said, oh no, it wasn't Jeff Schwartz. Excuse me. It was Booger McFarland. Booger said that the Colts were a team that if Phillip Rivers catches fire down the stretch with that defense, the kicking game, with the offense, the coaching, that's a team that he could see going to Tampa. Now, I don't know about that, but I get what Booger McFarland's saying, because it seems like this is getting into that part where Rivers starts to play really well. You look at his numbers, 24 out of 36 last week, 288, three touchdowns and an interception. The big thing with Phillip Rivers is if he could keep those interceptions under wrap, that Colts team is definitely going to be a tough out because they always play physical football. Every single week, they are a physical team. And you saw them stick to the run, even though they were down. They kept hammering away against the Packers last week, and they came back from, I believe it was an 11-point deficit. They just continue to play rough and rugged football. I just want to see what's going to happen this week, right? Because, you know, Jonathan Taylor, he had a solid game. He's starting to come into his own. But the guy that always gives the Titans problems is Nyheim Hines. And the last time they faced each other, the Titans just simply couldn't stop him. And I just, that's something that they have to figure out. It's going to be a lot tougher this week also because you have Jayon Brown who's out for the year. Will Compton is going to, you know, replace him for this game. He's going to have the green dot on his helmet. In other words, he's going to be the one relaying the play call to the rest of the defense in the huddle. I guess you go zone. It's going to be tougher to match up with him coming out of the backfield. So those are things that have to be considered. And maybe you go with the three safety look. That's another option. But regardless, Nyheim Hines has been a tough player. He's not the biggest guy, you know what I mean? But he brings that big guy approach to running the football and just carrying it once he gets his hands on it. Nate, I have to ask you about Phillip Rivers as well. What are your thoughts on what he's done the last couple games?
Man, just experience in itself. You know, I've talked about this quite often here on the show. And, you know, as much as you can go out and find a gifted guy, a talented guy, physically gifted, however you may put it, there's no comparison to experience. And you're dealing with a guy that has 17 years under his belt. So he knows when it's time to get the ball out of his hands quick. He knows when his protection is going to be there to look a little bit downfield and let plays develop. But all in all, you know, this guy just has the experience to understand and know what he's going to be capable of, even adjusting and calling plays from the line. You know, I've also seen a ton of that from Phillip this year, and it's obviously prevalent with the absence of the crowd, and being able to hear him make these adjustments. But, you know, this is, as I stated, he's the perfect guy for this system right now. The Colts have always been this way, in my opinion. You know, even back to when we played them, when I was there with Tennessee, they always had that back that they could rely on to be at least reliable. He may not have been that over-the-top Edgerrin James guy that they had in the past, but they've always had a reliable guy in the backfield that was able to do some good things for them, and they were always able to play physical football, you know. So it makes no surprise that they're able to come out and Phillip's able to ride that wave and be able to create off of their physical nature. But as you stated, you know, all in all, Nyheim just has been the Titans' killer. You know, this team has definitely had difficulties covering running backs here throughout this season. And as you stated, with Jayon being out this week, it's definitely going to put an interesting strategic plan into place for the Titans' defense, because if you sit back there and you just run a ton of zone hoping to corral him and limit him and his abilities of what he's able to do, then not only do you take your blitz package off the table, but you also allow a veteran quarterback to sit back there and basically pick you apart, you know, if having the protection up front with the four-man rush that hasn't been able, in all honesty, been able to get home completely frequently. So it'll be interesting strategic plan by the Titans defense to see how they're going to approach this. But all in all, they're going to definitely have to understand how they're going to be able to corral Nyheim, because he can't be continue to be the sole reason why a lot of these third down packages and passing game in the red zone is just breaking down for the Titans defense.
And that's exactly it. It's been really, it's been killing them, you know, in red zone with him. He had two touchdowns, you know, the last time, and one catching the ball. Right. And it's just they continue to do the same thing, right? They look for him out in that flat. He catches it. He breaks a tackle, dives in the end zone. And you have another one of have been many touchdowns allowed in the red zone. It's something that they have to get better with. I think really it comes down to this, in my opinion. You have to trust your guys to win. You have to trust your corners on the outside. We're going to get into T.Y. Hilton in a second. But I think you can't go zone. as much as they seem to want to. Just trust your guys. Let them match up. Get a little blitz in there. I think mixing it up a little bit, I would send Desmond King off the edge. I actually did a little whiteboard video on that this week. You know, send him off the edge and drop Roberson into that passing lane, right? And as you mentioned, pressing the point man, that's something crucial, right, in those bunches. And it, just looking at that play, the fourth and two, that Zach Pascal caught for the first down, that can be that could be stopped. If the guy up on the line of scrimmage, and it was Michael Pittman, he was in the middle. If you press him, that's going to keep Pascal from being able to release into that flat, and it's going to make that transition for Kevin Byard to come down and cover that flat. It's going to make it a lot easier. And then you send the pressure. So now Phillip Rivers is reading pressure, and he's saying, okay, you know what? I have to throw where that pressure came from, right? He's going to look to get the ball there. And then you have the Roberson or whoever, it could be Landry, dropping back in that passing lane. Or you could have an interception or a big play. These are the things that you have to do when you're not getting home consistently, as you mentioned. So that's going to be crucial. T.Y. Hilton, though. He is somebody that he was the previous Titans killer, and he hasn't been able to do it as much. In fact, he hasn't really done much of anything this year. He hasn't scored a touchdown. 327 yards, 29 receptions. What is going on with T.Y. Hilton? Because I thought that would be a great matchup. Rivers wants to push the ball down the field. Hilton is exceptional when it comes to making plays down the field, but it hasn't been the marriage that – a lot of us thought it would be.
Man, you know what? I have a confession to make, T.D. Man, I actually went and drafted T.Y. this year in fantasy football thinking that same exact thing, man. I'm just like, you know, this is a match made in heaven. T.Y. Hilton, Phillip Rivers, you know, if he's able to do what he's able to do with Andrew Luck, you know, I'm pretty sure that Phillip can come in and do the exact same thing for him, and it's even more outstanding. And obviously it just hasn't been there. I've watched a couple games of film of them. I've actually, obviously, having him on my fantasy team, was paying attention to him quite a bit earlier in the season without the Titans playing them. And I just haven't seen the playmaking ability or the play-action ability that he normally would get with Andrew Luck. I think a lot of the sets that and the scheme that this offense is running is straight pass, straight drop-back pass. And I think a lot of his benefit when it came to facing the Titans was coming off their ability to run first and him to benefit off the play action. Once he gets in play action, he's one-on-one a lot of the times with guys. And just that ability in itself, for him to have that opportunity to go one-on-one, obviously a lot of times T.Y. is going to get open. Mm-hmm. He's a heck of a route runner, does a great job making a play on the ball. But now here it is, you're in a drop-back system with a different quarterback. And it's creating a opportunity for defenses to actually go out and schematically plan to stop you. Well, with that being said, it also causes extra guys to put notice on you, obviously. And that's a different responsibility. It just hasn't showed up on film for them. I'm trying to continue to understand how they're going to use him here in the latter part of this season, because obviously they're still in the playoff hunt. Being in the lead of the AFC South, and they're definitely going to need him if they're going to try to close out this division and get into the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting how they continue to try to get him going here in the back end of this season. But it's definitely been not only I'm not going to say disappointing, because, hey, if he don't do nothing this weekend, kudos to him. But it's definitely been mind-boggling that he's not been able to at least be his same self or been better than what he's been in the past.
And I tell you what, if they get him going, that adds a vertical aspect to that team that likes to run the football, that's going to stretch the field out a bit and open some things up underneath. So, yeah, it's definitely right to point him out. And like I said, they get him going, it's going to cause problems for teams. But we'll see what happens this weekend. The Titans will not have a Dory Jackson, so we won't see that T.Y. versus a Dory matchup that has come to be one to – definitely watch it. It's not going to happen this year unless they meet up in the playoffs and if Adoree plays in. But now that we've discussed the offense, I think it's time we'll flip to the Colts defense and just some things that the DH-22 train could do. We'll be right back.
I'll whoop your head, boy. You know I will. I'll whoop your head, boy.
I'll whoop your head, boy. That's what Derrick Henry is saying as he runs through defenses. This upcoming game is another opportunity for him to do what no one else has done in the last 26 games. You know what that is, Nate? Let's get over 100 yards. He is the only guy who has gained over 100 yards on the ground against the Colts in the last 26 games. And this week we'll give him an opportunity to do it three times. Three times, not once, twice. Three times a lady. What is it about Derrick Henry from your perspective that makes him a guy that just gets better as the game wears on?
Well, I mean, undeniably, you look at a guy that's 6'4", 6'5", 245 pounds. I mean, that in itself is going to cause havoc for a defense. Once again, you know, I'll reiterate that as much as we work out, as much as these guys go out here, especially you look at defensive guys, and a lot of these guys have size as well. But when you take that clashing from a guy for 60 minutes and you're fighting off offensive linemen as well, you're fighting off notably sizable receivers outside that may come in and block you, you know, those type of things going on for a full 60-minute game is just a tremendous feat on your body. And as you look at it, I even get excited sometimes when I'm online and I may see friends that are maybe knocking the Titans in that first quarter. They just are just talking bad about Derrick and how the run game is not looking so sufficient. And I just crack up and I'm like, this is not the guy like Christian McCaffrey that's going to come out and give you a 50-yard run in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just not that runaway type of guy. I mean, he can hit a hole. He can definitely run away from a guy in the first quarter, but those type of runs in the first quarter are not his game. His game is, you know, I'm going to run through your face. Like Marshawn said, I get another opportunity to try to run through your face. And each one of those carries, you know, for all that time of, you know, if you're getting 22, 23 carries a game, I guarantee you around somewhere around 13 or 14, that defense is like, enough is enough, man. Just throw the ball. Let us get off the field because we can't keep tackling this guy. And it's just, that's what it is when you look at Derrick Henry's game. He's a guy that's going to wear on you. It doesn't matter even if he tries. His size alone, just running into him, he's going to be able to fall forward and create more yardage.
Yeah, I mean, he's a physical runner. And it just, you see it. Those five-yard gains become 15, and a 10-yard gain becomes 30. And next thing you know, he'll be averaging 2.7 yards per carry. And then you'll see it happen late in the third quarter into the fourth. A few long runs, and next thing you know, that's up to 4.7. And it's just the way that he is. It's just a continuing – and that offensive line, too. Because even going back to that 29-yard run, excellent blocking from literally all – it took all 11. Just like they say on running plays, you know, Derrick Henry will say that. Mike Vrabel will say that. It literally did take all 11, and everybody played a key role on that long run. So when you have all that in sync – it's hard to stop, and it's something that the rest of the league has definitely noticed. And I think it's a testament to what they're able to do running the football, and they have to continue to do that. Frank Reich is actually someone who I got to talk to via conference call earlier this week, and I wanted to get his take on Derrick Henry and just some of the other things. And he had really high praise for Henry, and also talked about a guy that they're going to be missing. So let's hear what Frank Reich had to say.
The physicality that you've brought to that Colts franchise. I remember in Philly, you would always every week talk about punching people in the mouth and playing with physicality. How have you been able to bring that to that organization?
Well, it's really interesting, you know, when you look at this matchup and the importance of a physical game up front. I think both our teams are, you know, us and the Titans are built very similar philosophy. You know, Chris and I here talk a lot about building this team from the inside out. And if you want to bring physicality to a team, it starts with the guys up front on both sides of the ball. So a real emphasis on that, you know, having that right demeanor and having, you know, the size and strength to play a physical dominating game. And I think that's always our goal as, you know, I feel that same, and we have a ton of respect, you know, for the Titans, you know, and believe that kind of a similar philosophy there. So it makes for a great challenge this Sunday.
And I remember just looking back to when you guys traded for DeForest Buckner. So that's the three tech that they need. What has he done to really help your defense?
Yeah, in our defensive scheme, the three technique is really the central cog to the whole deal. So, you know, he's just he's a great player, first of all. You know, he's disruptive in the pass game. He's disruptive in the run game. He's a complete player. He's a great leader in the locker room, on the field. He's the complete package. I mean, this guy is an elite player, and he's an elite leader.
And you used to refer, and I keep going back to Philly because that's my experience with you, but you used to refer to being able to have a plan and have that still be executed even once you got punched in the mouth. How has your defense been able to do that, you know, especially with a guy like Derrick Henry that you guys have to face?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a defense, you know, we know there's going to be ebb and flow to every game. And, you know, each week we're playing very talented offenses. You know, this week, obviously, we were playing one of the more potent offenses in the NFL, in the Titans offense. You know, you got, you know, leading rusher in Derrick Henry. You know, Tannehill's having another outstanding year. So, you know, you got that dual threat of run and pass. You know, it always starts with stopping the running game. And we know that this is the biggest challenge of the year as far as that's concerned. This is the most formidable, you know, run game really around, you know, with what they do schematically. You know, I just give the Titans offensive staff a lot of credit for how they scheme things up in the run game. So we have to be at our best. We have to be physical. We have to be fast. We have to have gap integrity. Because you will get exposed against this team if you don't have those things.
What impresses you most about Derrick Henry and just the way he's able to, as the game goes on, it seems like he gets stronger, and a lot of his production, it comes especially in that fourth quarter.
He has a rare combination of size, speed, and strength, and then he has skill of vision and footwork, and he's great balance. I mean, he's the complete package as a running back. So he's got a unique gift set. You know, he's a consistent player. He stayed healthy. You know, he certainly earned the reputation that he has.
Is it unique what he's been able to do? Because I think you guys have only given up in the last 26 games, what, two 100-yard rushing performances, and both of them were by him.
There's no doubt. I mean, he's the best in the league, so it'll be a big challenge. That's why, you know, we have a ton of respect for him and for the team and how well they are and how well coached they are. So, you know, we view it as a 11-on-1. I mean, it takes all 11 guys, I mean, to stop someone like, you know, Derrick Henry. And that's the challenge before us.
Thanks, Coach. And by the way, it's really cool to see you get Marcus Johnson involved, man. I'm glad you were able to reconnect with him.
I love Marcus. I mean, I was so glad that we could reconnect with him, and he's doing great.
Yes, sir.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, yes, sir. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Coach, I have right in for you.
So that was Frank Reich, conference call there, getting to talk to him. And Nate, you noticed what he said, right? Best back in the league about Derrick Henry.
Yes, definitely. I heard the comment. I'll say this as well. Listening to that interview, I understand that there's definitely a huge amount of respect for Derrick Henry and, you know, this offense in a whole of what they're capable of doing. But it was very reminiscent as well of old Bill Belichick interviews and how he would just pick out their best player and just big this guy up in the interview leading up to the game. So the rest of the other team, you know, their coaching staff will go out and say, well, I know they're trying to stop Derrick Henry, so let's go out here and try to make sure we have something to compliment Derrick tonight. And it reminded me a lot of that, because Bill will come out there and be completely prepared for the rest of your team and say, okay, you're going to beat us with one guy, and try it. Let that one guy beat us and see what happens. But, you know, I'm pretty sure Frank has some other things up his sleeve. But it's obvious that there's a huge amount of respect there for Derek, and it should be. I think this Titans offense, as we stated before, is built around this run game and what he's capable of doing. Big responsibility for A.J. and Corey on the outside to continue to do what they're doing best and making plays. But obviously, when you look at this Titans offense, you're definitely going to think Derrick Henry first.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And now the defense, it came out today, right? No DeForest Buckner. We kind of knew that. But DeNico Autry is out as well. Bobby Okereke, tremendously underrated player. And these are all guys that go into making that run defense a lot stronger. I want to see how this matches up because, I mean, you look at a lot of the stuff that the Titans do. I mean, it's hard to reach block a guy like DeForest Buckner. And Okereke is someone that just comes in and cleans up. He and Darius Leonard, man, those guys, they feel really well. They, you know, occupy cutback lanes and those type of things. Leonard's still playing, but I think this Titans offense has a good chance to run the football with authority and impose their will, reestablish the line of scrimmage the way that they need to do in this type of matchup.
Definitely going to have to be a physical game for them. As you said, I think this is the opportunity, especially with DeForest Buckner being out, for the Titans to go out and do what they do best. You know, I have a huge amount of respect for Leonard on the other side. I think he's an outstanding linebacker, headhunter type of guy that's always going to make plays on the ball. But I also, you know, believe in this interchanging offensive line with the Titans, and I think they're best at their run game and being able to come downhill and allowing the play action to kind of take the heat that the defense will be having without, you know, a progressive run game. So to come out and have an opportunity this game to be physical, come downhill, do what they do best, and be able to stick to their game plan for a full 60 minutes and trust that this run game will open up the rest of this offense is going to be imperative. I think, you know, with the absence of these couple guys that they have out, you have no choice but to take advantage of it, you know, and do what you do best. I think, you know, there were some plays in the past game with A.J. last game and a couple of different things, but all in all, I think Art and this offense is going to have to stick to their guns and come out and have a physical run game this game.
No doubt about it. And there's a lot at stake, a lot at stake. The winner of this game will be on top of the AFC South division for now. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, Nate's going to tell me if he thinks the winner of this game wins the division. We're not talking about being on top. We're talking about winning a division. We'll be right back.
You overdid it, Holmes. You in the danger zone. You shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me.
All right, here we are, Nate and TD. Time to wrap this thing up. But before we slide on out of here, I said it before the break. We're going to get Nate's take on the winner of this game, whether or not it wins the division. This is something that I need to know, Nate. So, I mean, can you hook me up? Well, what's the deal?
Man, you know what? I'll say this, man. Looking at this division right now, obviously these two teams are the front runner. But I think they're both going to have to make sure that they're not upset by this Texans squad.
Mm.
They've been playing some good ball here lately. They've been coming along, and I can definitely see the latter part of the season them competing with one of these two teams and possibly being the upset to the reason why they wouldn't win this division. But definitely, they definitely both will probably be your two leading dogs. And looking at this game, you definitely would expect whichever one of these teams to close out this division and win it. You know, obviously, if the Colts win this game, they'll have – two of the games throughout the season of the Titans, and would definitely set the Titans back in trying to accomplish winning this division title. But, you know, if this Titans team wins this, as, you know, I'm hoping that occurs, but if that occurs, then they definitely put themselves in prime position to win this division as well. So I think it's actually going to come down to whoever plays the Texans the best here in the second half of the season and closes this season out. I mean, I think all in all, the Texans could be actually the one that's upset either one of these teams and have that division title be taken away from them.
And the Colts, I believe, have the Texans twice. The Titans have them once. So you really – what is it about the Texans team that makes you pick them? Because is it common opponent? Is that what it is?
Yes, definitely common opponent, in-division opponent. When you look at it, obviously, if, even if the Colts win this game, but the Texans lose to the Titans, if the Texans beat the Colts, then it puts the Titans right back in prime position to win this division again, with two games to possibly lose to them. So, you know, like as I stated, you know, this could be definitely a crazy scenario if the Texans lose two games to the Titans, the Titans lose two games to the Colts, and the Colts lose two games to the Texans. How do you come away from that situation? So it's going to be definitely interesting, especially seeing the advancement of their offense, the Texans coming along and playing some better ball, seeing their defense starting to make some splash plays and creating turnovers. I just think it's definitely going to be a scenario where they definitely could upset someone's season when it comes to winning this division this year.
And what better thing for the Texans than to be able to do that? You look at these two schedules, right? The Colts have the Raiders and Steelers left. Those are the big games. The Titans have the Packers and Browns too. So it's even kind of close there as far as teams left to play, like monster teams left to play. It's going to go down to the stretch. And I think this is something that the schedule makers want it, and I think they did a good job in this case. So let's get back to this game, though. This individual game, we need to run through the matchups. We're a little short on time, so I'm going to just yield to you for your key matchup on offense, and then we'll go defense, and then we'll both give our predictions. What you got on offense?
The Titans are definitely going to have to take advantage of Derrick Henry and this run game. But obviously, when you have a guy like Darius Leonard on the other side, that's the key matchup. I think he's going to be around the ball all day, and I think Derrick is just going to have to continue to do what he does best and come downhill. It's going to be definitely a war of attrition, but I think that obviously the Titans will wear on this defense that's missing a couple huge bodies when it comes to stopping the run and making plays. But definitely the matchup I'm looking for is Darius Leonard versus Derrick Henry.
I love that matchup. And Derrick Henry said that that's something that he looks forward to. And he called Leonard the sheriff, the general of that defense, and said he's one of the best playmakers in the league. Looking forward to watching that. What do you got on defense?
I'm going to go Jeffrey Simmons and Quentin Nelson. I love the matchup in the interior of this offense. And with, as we stated, this Colts offense has been doing a good job playing off of an experienced 17-year quarterback. He's putting them in a good position, but also they're doing a good job of being balanced, going out, continuing to stay in the run game, doing some good things with Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. But obviously, when you look at it, this is going to have to be a physical game in the middle of those trenches, and hopes that they can put the responsibility on the pass game. And the linebackers are definitely going to have to rally in the Nyheim Harris situation. It's definitely going to be Nyheim Hines situation. It's definitely going to be a team effort. They're definitely going to have to understand the scheme and the system to stop him. But if they don't stop him, they won't have a chance.
Okay, so next we'll go into predictions, and I'll give mine. I actually picked the Colts for my ESPN.com prediction, but you remember Boomerang when they're at the table and Pops, he told Junior what he had to do, right? Reverse it. That's what I'm about to do right now. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going with the Titans, and I'm going with them by a score of 24-17. I think the Titans win this one.
I'm going to actually go 28-24 Titans. They're going to have to put some points on the board, and I'm expecting them to do so. But obviously, this defense and the Colts is also lights out, top three in the league, doing a great job in every area from run to pass. But the Titans are going to have to find a way. They can't afford to lose this game and not split this season with the Colts. If they're going to want to win this division and hopes that, you know, they can continue on from excellent start of 5-0 and get into this playoff, then they're definitely going to have to win this game to put themselves in position.
There it is, pedal to the metal. And before we get out of here, I want to shout out Malcolm Butler, too. He was named the NFLPA community, I forget exactly what it was, but community player of the week. He was responsible for providing 600 Thanksgiving dinners in Mississippi, his hometown, as well as where he went to college at Northern Alabama and here in Nashville. So shout out to Malcolm Butler for that and his foundation. And from there, I think it's time to go to something else. All right, Nate. Listen, man, there's something that makes me go, And, you know, you're connected to this thing that makes me go, just by organization, association. We'll get our Jesse Jackson on and use the big words consecutively. And the thing that makes me go, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They whined and whined and whined about the Titans when you had the COVID situation then and it affected them. And now they're whining and whining and whining about the Ravens. But guess what? COVID-19 made its way into their organization as well. And I just say this, when you point the finger at one person, remember, there's four fingers pointing back to you. That's what makes me go,
Yeah, it's definitely a sticky situation. I've seen all the guys upset, especially online and things of that nature. I think that's one of those situations where, you know, it's abrupt for those guys. You know, a lot of those guys were looking forward to having the weekend off, getting their bodies back and all those things. But as you stated, when you look at the situation in the entirety of what's really going on, the truth is you can't avoid a mass pandemic or a virus. You know, there's something that's just something that you just can't control. So unfortunately, this game probably is going to be postponed again. I'm saying now that it's not scheduled to happen until Tuesday.
Right.
But if it doesn't happen, you know, as mad as the guy can be, you know, at the end of the day, this is something that we have to be cognizant of. This situation with this pandemic, with the virus, is nothing to play with. Thousands of bodies and lives have been lost. Thousands of family members have been lost, and it won't go into 2021 with us. So I think it's just important to do what's best, obviously, for the health code.
Can't say it much better than that. Well, there's your show, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you tuning in. For the record, Nate and I together, the Nate and TD show, picks the Titans. Your Tennessee Titans to beat the Colts. What more can you say? We're going to get on out of here on that note. Stay tuned for Talking with TD coming up. We will get back with you next week. God bless and good night.